Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio, and I'm an attorney at the Herzog Law Firm. And myself, and usually more than one of us, is here every week. We are talking about estate planning, Medicaid, asset protection planning, death, happiness, all the above. It's a call-in show, so please feel free. Don't be shy. Call in and ask your questions. Number here is 518-476-5900. Or you can always call one of our offices if you want to set up an appointment. You don't want to talk on the radio. That number is 518-465-7581. And my co-pilot, Jay Marie Schaefer, is just walking into the room in 1 minute.
Putting all right, Jay Marie, take your time.
So while Jay Marie gets set up, John, we were talking about some postseason baseball. We got both New York teams in there this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be a lot of fun to watch. And let's hope for the best. I mean, you know, the way both teams are playing, you don't know. I mean, you know, they could be playing a bad team and lose.
You don't know.
I mean, a great team and win.
The Yankees have all the tools this year, so we'll see if they can finally put it together.
The Yankees tonight, we're both excited about that.
I'm hopeful. What about you, Jay Marie? I know you are in Massachusetts now, but you're a New York native. You didn't trade, did you?
I did.
Oh, no.
Jay Marie. You know, my cousin did that, and my daughter. So,
I can't believe it.
And it's like, come on.
I love going to Fenway. It's a great
It's a beautiful
state.
Park.
Oh, Fenway is great. And, you know, I will say that Fenway Franks are better than the hot dogs you get at Yankee Stadium.
I don't know. So. I got a guy.
I think so.
An Aussie dog outside. This is a certain vendor I've gone since I was a kid. My older brother used to take me. He does chili and then potato sticks crumpled on top of the hot dog.
That's good.
And it's phenomenal.
That's good. Yeah, this was just a plain old Fenway Frank I had when I was there one time. And I thought it was great. And then, you know, Yankee Stadium, you know, the vendor comes along and throws the hot dog, and it's like, is from 2 weeks ago.
We used to go to
a
place outside Yankee Stadium. I think it was like Yankee Tavern or something.
Oh, yeah.
One of the bars right there.
But they had great, like, deli sandwiches. And you'd always eat there before you go inside.
There's a lot of great places, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's cheaper outside than inside.
Not that I'm a hot dog connoisseur, but, you know.
I see we're both wearing Herzog swag today.
Yes, we are. And I have my Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's.
She has her Alzheimer's shirt on.
Oh, yeah, the Alzheimer's walk. Okay.
You have your Herzog
sweater. Herzog polo.
Good.
That's right.
So I think you're heading to the Schenectady Alzheimer's walk after this. Is that right?
I am. Yes, the Schenectady
walk. Excellent,
It's on, I don't know what they call it, but like on the river outside where the casino is.
Yeah, got it. Where the casino is,
That's the Mohawk River, right? Right there?
Yes, that is. Yes.
And the sun's going to come out a little bit more. It should be a good day.
It's supposed to be a nice day.
It should be a good day.
It won't be too cold or too hot.
You can come join us, come walk by, see what's going on.
Nice.
Yeah, it'd be very nice.
I'll be at the Saratoga Senior Center. They have their open house today.
Very nice.
Great senior center. We do a lot with them. They have a lot of different opportunities there for the local seniors. So,
where is that, Phil? Mm-hmm.
So it's in Saratoga Springs.
Right.
It's right next to the YMCA. There's a new YMCA there. So they
is that
have
50?
That's all 50, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
you
got to
do the YMCA dance.
You have to do the YMCA dance.
I don't know, sorry.
I'd pay to see that.
That's right.
That's great.
And if I can feel free to mention, there's another reason that you're wearing a Herzog shirt.
Why is that?
That may be because Phil is no longer just an attorney with the Herzog Law Firm.
Yeah.
Phil is now a partner at the Herzog Law Firm.
Yeah, right.
This is true. Very excited, very honored.
Nice.
Joining his group of historical and storied partners such as Jay Marie Schaefer and 78 years. So I'm very excited to be
part of it. I'm not 78 years old. So.
Not you.
Okay. You knew it was coming, Phil, because, you know, there you are on the TV ad right in front with the other guys.
Well, you always hope, John. You never know for
That's
sure.
True.
But,
you never know.
Yeah, you don't
That's
know.
Right. So now we're really happy to have Phil. He's just been you know, perfectly with the team. And shares the same philosophy that we do and, you know, the way that you treat clients, same way that we do. It's just really great.
Well, thank you. Very, very honored to join the team. And that's great. Very excited for the future for us. But
so there may be more Herzog swag.
Maybe. More Herzog swag coming.
Yay.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I have a few topics that I jotted down, Jay Marie. I'm going to read you a few and give you a choice of what to talk about here. All right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give three choices.
Okay.
So first one I call, There's No Hope.
Oh, boy.
Then we have, But I'm His Wife.
Oh, I like that one.
That one's a good one. But then we have, but they're divorced.
Okay.
Different topic.
Okay.
What do you think you want to go with here?
I like, but I'm his wife. I want to hear what that one's about.
But I'm his wife.
But I'm his wife.
How about, but I'm his ex-wife? No.
No.
So, scenario here, had a client recently, last week or so, and this unfortunately happens too often, in my opinion. I have a lot of cases like this going on at the same time, but we have a situation where a husband passed away, and the wife came to our office, we spoke. The house, their marital home, is in his name only. So, for whatever reason, she was never on the deed for the house.
I've seen that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and, whether it's a mortgage thing or
he owned it before they were married.
Okay. Different reasons, but always a good idea to add your spouse. So the wife said, all I want to do is get the deed in my name. Very simple. Just do a new deed in my name. And I said, well, unfortunately, it's not that simple, as we know. And there's three children. And like I mentioned, no will.
Yeah, right? That's the unfortunate situation of the intestacy law in New York.
Right. And to put a cherry on top, one of the children is estranged.
Oh, that's even worse.
Strange. I haven't talked in a very long time. So I'll hand it over to you, Jay-Marie. You can probably replicate what I said in that meeting. You just mentioned New York intestacy law. So what is the situation? Does that wife automatically get that house now? He passed away. There's no will. There's kids involved. One's estranged.
I know. You would think that you would, right?
Most
because
people
you're
would
the
assume.
Spouse. Right. And I think we are going to have to wait for the answer to that.
Oh, do we have a caller?
We're going to have you on the edge of your seats.
Wonderful.
And we'll have the caller first, and then we'll get to that
answer. Come right back
answer.
All right. Well, we have Kim from Rensselaer on the phone.
Hi. Good morning, Kim.
Hi. I have a question. If I have a trust in my house, is it true that years down the road I can't sell the house and just rent an apartment? I'd have to purchase another home or rent out the house that I currently have? Like if I have longevity in my life and I'm thinking in 99 years my father lived that long and I'm thinking I don't want to be a homeowner that long.
It's a good point, Kim. You know, there's a lot of maintenance involved in owning a home and whatnot. And we might have changed that situation one day. So it really depends on what kind of trust you have in terms of what the rules are. Do you know if it's an irrevocable form of a trust, why you created the trust initially?
Well, I didn't yet. I was just scared off by the Medicaid trust that you have to you have to be an owner for forever. And I didn't really want to be an owner of a home for in my late 80s and 90s, and that's what I was concerned about.
All right, so you're on the cusp here. You haven't pulled the trigger yet because you're scared by that aspect. So why you're saying that is that because there is, to a degree, some truth to it. When you put assets into a trust, they have to remain in the trust if they're for asset protection purposes, for Medicaid protection. So there's a clause in those trusts that says the assets can't be distributed for the benefit of the trust creator, the grantor. So if assets stay in the trust, it's not a problem. So like you mentioned, if I sell the house, I can only use it to buy another house or a condo or whatnot. And that's okay because it all stays within the trust. However, we can't necessarily plan for our future. So there are ways we can draft a trust to build in what we call backdoor loopholes to get funds out if we need to. Now, oftentimes that's not necessarily the plan. We try to live off what's outside the trust because we're trying to protect what's in the trust. But there are ways we can structure that trust to get money out if you needed to. So I don't know if that helps your situation, but there are options to get that money out if you needed to pay for rent and you didn't want to use it all to buy another property.
Okay, so is that with all kinds of trust that is, or just a Medicaid trust?
Not necessarily all trusts. It depends on the purpose you're doing for. There are other trusts for estate tax purposes that are much more restrictive, but for the majority of the trusts that we would do for most individuals, that is true.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Have a great day.
Yeah, have a great day.
Thank you.
Sure. And I think that's one of the most common questions that I get also is that, if my house is in the trust, I can't sell it. And you absolutely can sell it.
Yeah.
Right. There's no restrictions on that. It's just there's restrictions on what you do with the money afterwards.
There is.
Yeah.
But like we were saying, we talked about this many times, different backdoor ways we can get money out if we had to.
Right.
But again, that's not the plan going into it because we're trying to protect what we can. So
right.
We always talk about, I don't know what analogy you use. I use the analogy of a scale, and one side of the scale is protecting assets. That's a major goal. But the other side of the scale is still living my life on my terms, doing whatever I want, and creating that balance. So we always try to spend what's outside the trust first. If we have to get access to the trust assets, there's ways to do it.
Right, that's true. And, you know, we've done that many times. People sell their houses and go into an apartment, and then maybe they have to go into assisted living.
Right, as a common scenario.
Right, and as we know, assisted living is generally not covered by Medicaid. So you may have to, you know, reach into the trust to help pay for assisted living if your own income and assets are not enough. But you do have the option of doing that. So we like to keep the assisted living option open along with home care Medicaid, nursing home Medicaid.
Sure, because it's a useful option sometimes. It might be the right fit for the right person. So
that's right.
So where were we?
We were back on this cliffhanger of what happens to this poor wife who like thinks she's getting the house and she doesn't.
Right. So quick recap. Husband dies, wife's still alive, no will, three kids that also survived, and one of those kids is estranged. So, Jamie, you're about to tell us what happens here now.
Yeah, so under the intestacy law in New York State, if you die without a will, you're married, and you have children, your spouse gets the first $50,000 plus one half of the assets, and your children get the other half of the assets.
It's such a shock to so many of our clients.
Such a shock. Yeah. So she's going to be sharing that house with her children. They're going to own it as
And that estranged child here is the hardest component that I can say with almost certainty that the husband did not want that estranged child to get a portion of that house, especially with the wife still alive.
That's right.
So it's really unfortunate. And, you know, there's many ways we could have avoided that, right? We spoke about, we could have simply added the wife to the deed.
That would be the easiest way to do it, right? So it goes right to the wife. If it was in a trust, or even if you did a will that said it goes to my wife, you can do a trust that lasts for your lifetime and your spouse's lifetime.
Yeah. And sometimes I have the scenario that you mentioned earlier. It's like an inherited property. So it's only in the one spouse's name who inherited from his or her family. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily want to add the spouse to it.
Yeah, sometimes it's a family property.
Yeah. Right, so we could put it into a trust where that surviving spouse has all the rights to live there. We can even put clauses in that she has the right to demand it gets sold and used to purchase another property, but then still keep it in the family when he or she passes away.
That's right. There's lots of planning that you can do there. And like in this case, one child is estranged. I mean, sometimes this has happened, unfortunately, and then we talk to the kids and we're like, this isn't really what everyone wanted. Will you give your share back to your mom?
Right.
And they will, right? So we can work around the bad situation, but sometimes we're not able to do that, you know?
But the situation here, I'm not sure how it's going to play out. And then there's the aspect of having to find the estranged child. We're not sure if anyone has connection with him still.
Right.
And, you know, serve him with the paperwork for the court. And it's it could really delay the process as well as having the, you know, unfortunate fact of him being a partial owner as well.
Or the kids could be minors. They could be young kids.
Yeah.
And then that's even more complicated to own a house with.
I have too many of those cases. They're very sad with young individuals passing. And those are the individuals that just, you know, you don't have to think about death and incapacity.
They probably don't have a will.
Yeah, right. They don't have a will. They just, not that they shouldn't. Everyone should. Like, we try to promote to everyone. But you're not thinking about it when you're in your, you know, 20s, 30s. And now we have minor kids who are going to be partial owners of a house, and the court has to have guardian ad litems involved, and
we have
to do all types of accountings, and it's a lot more complicated.
So that's very surprising when people find that out, and that's where, like, we need to take care of that. That's one of the first things you need to do.
I think I have like three or four of those cases pending right now, which is really sad. Do you have any of those ones going on?
I haven't had one recently, but it's pretty sad when it does happen.
See you too often. Get your wills in place, people. At the very least. I don't care if you're 19 or 70. At least have a will to avoid little problems like this that could be avoided.
When you have a child, that should be kind of a trigger. That's probably when you're doing a lot of things.
Oftentimes, right? You realize you're responsible for another human being's life all of a sudden. So.
Yeah, sure. After you get over the shock of that, you know.
you should probably now have a will,
It's time to have a will. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's many reasons with the minors putting guardians in place, too. Something happens to you and your spouse, and there are minor kids. Who's going to care for them?
That's right.
We all have one sibling that you would never want caring for your child, and that's a possible scenario if you don't specify otherwise.
That's right. And all right, so we'll be talking more about this right after the break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
This is the second half of the Herzog Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We were lucky enough to have a caller in the first segment. If you'd like to ask us any questions, you can give us a call at 518-476-5900. And if you don't have enough of us on the radio, you could see Phil and I later today. I will be at the Alzheimer's Walk over in Schenectady on the river by the casino. And Phil will be at the Saratoga Senior Center open house.
Yes, please feel free to come by.
Say
hi to us.
That's right.
So I think we wrapped up that last topic. I'm going to give you the other two and let you choose. So there's no hope. Or we can stick with the married topic. Well, someone married, but they're divorced.
I think we're going to stick with the married topic, and just for a reason. Today is my 28th wedding anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
That's great.
Wow, two great occasions today.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
Love it.
Seems like forever, but that's...
I hope Michael has some very romantic plans for you later.
We're going to this wonderful... I haven't been there yet. It's a brandy distillery on an estate in Hudson.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That sounds very nice.
I have heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, Clock Estates.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really nice. I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah.
Are you guys brandy fans?
No, it's more of the restaurant and the view and the, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, no, I do like brandy.
You have to try it. I mean, if it's a distillery.
Of course, we're going to try it. That's right.
Let me know how it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds very nice.
So we'll go with the divorce theme or marriage theme, divorce.
Right. Let's not divorce in
no,
your
we're
situation,
not divorce
but related
theme, right?
to, you know. All right. So, but they're divorced. That's the topic. So, situation is the individual's brother passed away. Okay. That his brother had no children and he was divorced somewhat recently, within the past 2-3 years or so. Come to find when he's looking at the estate assets that the ex-wife is still the beneficiary on a life insurance policy that this individual had, and it's quite a hefty life insurance policy. Significant amount in there. Now, he did find out that there is a judgment of divorce, and in that judgment of divorce, there is a section about the husband and wife each waiving any rights they may have against each other's estates and assets that they may have been entitled to because of their marriage.
Right.
Okay. So, a situation like that, one would think, well, that judgment of divorce automatically waives her rights, even though she's still the beneficiary.
Right, but I've had this situation before.
Oh, boy.
Yep, so that's not quite so easy, right?
It's not
that
quite,
cut and dry, right?
Yeah, it's not quite so easy, and, you know, I could get very technical in the legalities here, but there's estates and then life insurance. It's not part of the estate. It's a contract, basically, between you and the insurance company, and they have to honor the beneficiary designation that you put in there.
Yeah.
Right.
And this individual already had another attorney. I think he's going to try to get a decision for the court, but they're going to look at different factors like when the beneficiary was named.
Right.
The fact that he didn't change the beneficiary. Is there anything in writing saying he still wanted her as beneficiary?
Right. Is there anything, did they have a separation agreement that mentioned anything about the life insurance policies? You know, I've had that situation before where we were not able to get out of that.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And so when you get divorced, again, you're meeting with lawyers, doing legal things. Go to see an estate planning lawyer right after that.
That should be one of the first things you're doing.
That's right. Make sure everything has changed. I mean, while you're in that, you know, mode of like, okay, I got to change everything, right?
Yeah.
You're dividing assets, but you have to think about my will and my beneficiaries. Maybe even sometimes power of attorney and healthcare proxy. You may have your spouse on there.
And I'm going to bet you that wife here is going to say, oh no, he still wanted me.
We had talks.
He saw me as the beneficiary.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
He made me promises and this
that's
and
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we're still friends.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to make every argument she can. And, you know, you don't know. She might end up getting it. So we don't know here, unfortunately.
We don't know until Man. We go through that.
Wow.
I mean, we do see a lot of clients when they get divorced do the right thing and they come to us and, you know, get her off the will, get him off the will. Respectably so. You guys got divorced for a reason, most likely. Not always that you're changing it, but if you want to, it should be one of the first things that you do while you're still in lawyer mode.
That's right. I mean, maybe you're fed up with lawyers by that point.
At that too.
Yes, but you should finish the job and get it all done.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had the opposite. I'm surprised. Am I surprised? Sometimes people get divorced and they're still on great terms. I've had divorced couples where they're still each other's healthcare proxy.
Not that it doesn't happen.
They're okay with that, obviously.
Yeah. They're okay. They want that, right?
Whatever the reason. Wow. We fell out of love, but we're still friends or whatever the case is.
Yeah, there's still power of attorney and healthcare proxy. And but even if that's the case, I would say redo your documents after the divorce.
Mm.
You know, so that's really clear that even though I'm divorced, I still want this.
That's a good point. Because, if you do want that, the family can make the counter argument that we're saying that, he just didn't get around to changing it. It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
So it's not a bad idea even then if you still want that spouse to update it. And then it's very clear, hey, we got divorced. I did new documents and I still left this person on. So obviously.
That's right. This was intentional.
Yeah.
Right.
Or with the beneficiary designation, do an updated beneficiary designation form
that
relists that spouse. So it's clear that you still intended that. Otherwise, we're left with this kind of mess. And yeah, you're going to, the only entity that can really make a determination is a court of law.
Yeah, it's going to be a court. They have to decide who the insurance company has to pay, and the insurance company may want a court to tell them.
Yeah, and then more attorney fees, more court fees, and all that stuff. So
yes, that's right.
Not a great situation. So
that's not good.
All right, so I have my last topic here we'll get into. It's the there's no hope. So moving away from the marriage divorce theme here. So this one. Met a client recently, and it was for mom. Mm-hmm. So mom and dad had a trust. Dad was deceased. Mom had gotten sick. She'd been sick for a while. So they've been paying medical costs out of pocket for home care and whatnot for a while. And they sold the house that was in this trust. And it was it wasn't our trust, but it was a Medicaid asset protection trust, similar to the one we speak about, with the goal of protecting assets in there. So they've been spending the money on mom's care from the trust, and now mom needs a nursing home.
Mm.
And they're saying, you know, we've been told by other attorneys that unfortunately the trust has been voided.
Because you took money out.
Yeah, because you were using the money for the grantor's benefit, and there's a five-year look back for nursing home Medicaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to see those transfers, so they just kind of want to know what their options were. So I don't know what the other attorneys did during their consults that they saw, but I asked to see the trust.
That'd be the first thing I would do.
Should be, right?
Yeah. Read the trust.
So I looked at the trust in front of them and I read a section that said the trustees are allowed to make distributions to beneficiaries.
Right?
So beneficiaries are not the trust creator, but in this case, it was the kids, the woman's kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, well, you said that you were paying mom's care from the trust. Exactly how are you doing that?
Right.
Were you writing checks from the trust account? Were you transferring money back into mom's account?
Mm-hmm.
And her answer was, no, well, I have an account I set up in my own name, and I was transferring assets from the trust to that account in my name and paying the bill directly from there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So, here. The money actually never went back to mom.
Right.
And the trust allowed for distributions to beneficiaries, which is actually, we can structure it that way without voiding it. And it's been in existence for well over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in actuality, that trust was not voided.
They were actually doing the right thing under the terms of the trust.
And they didn't even realize it.
Whether it was intentional or not,
they
did. So let's go back. So even though we set up these irrevocable trusts and they say that, all right, you can't touch the principal, and that's why it's exempt for Medicaid purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You can add a provision into that trust that the trustees can make gifts to your children or grandchildren or whoever you want.
Right.
And that doesn't violate any of those rules about asset protection and Medicaid.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, because the money is not going to you. It's going to your beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a trust and we can create trust like that for you, it's a way that your children could get some money out of the trust. You know, if they choose to spend it on you, of course, you
right.
know, to pay your bills. Everything in the trust that's left is still going to be protected.
And we talk about this a lot recently, Jay Marie, I feel like, because obviously there's the flip side of, well, could that trustee take advantage and distribute money? And yes.
And they could.
That's a possibility.
But it's a trust. You're trusting your children to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So why would you put someone in there that you don't trust?
You would hope so. And it's not the right term for everybody. We have long conversations with the
True.
Clients about whether mm-hmm. or not this makes sense in their situation.
True.
But oftentimes it does. You know, it acts as that loophole to
yes.
get money out if we need to.
Right.
Or sometimes even I have where the trust creators want to have some of that money distributed while they're alive
mm-hmm.
and see
That's
the beneficiaries
right.
have the enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if the trust allows for that, they can do that. So there's multiple benefits of that language that, you know, if it works, there's many uses we can put it to.
Right. Sometimes I have clients tell me that they usually make gifts every year at Christmas time, or they want to help pay for grandkids' college and stuff. And actually, it's a good idea to do it out of the trust, because once
yeah.
you put that money in the trust, that starts that 5-year period going on that money. Then if you further gift from the trust, that doesn't start a new 5-year period.
Right. And you're gifting, you know, protected money. You know, I say that too. I usually advise against it waiting till the 5 years have passed in
mm-hmm.
case we have to undo the trust because 5 years haven't passed and transfer the money back. Right.
Right. There's, true.
Without getting too technical, we could have to do that. But once that 5 years passes and the money's protected, if we have that provision in there, yeah, we can.
No start. Reason why you can't gift out of that money, right?
And that's not going to be penalized, like you said, because it's not a countable asset anymore.
Yeah, if you were gifting out of your own funds, for example, that starts new 5-year periods for every gift that you make.
Right. So that was one of those really exciting meetings for me, because their
nice.
Eyes lit up and they were like, "You mean all that money in the trust is protected?"
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, that's great. I said, "Yeah, it actually is. You know, I have to review what you did to make sure you're telling me the truth here." And
right.
The truth that what you say is true.
So that it's all documented.
It's all documented.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we're doing a Medicaid application
wow.
for that client, and likely going to protect all these assets they thought could not be protected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that they persisted, because sometimes you get wrong advice from
yeah.
an attorney who may not be specializing in elder law and estate planning. And, you know, you need to go to someone who does this a lot and make sure that you're getting good advice.
Yeah, it's about asking the right questions. I mean, you really got to look at all the documents closely in this situation, because
right.
there are a lot of this area of law is extremely complicated and the rules change all the time. So.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of loopholes that we could take advantage of if the situation mm-hmm. permits, but it's about finding those loopholes to be able to take advantage of them.
That's right. And they're all legal. Right?
Yeah. we're not committing crimes on your behalf. Don't worry. We're doing things by
yes.
the books as the law allows us to, but
that's right.
It's massaging it, right? Making
but
sure.
I had this conversation with the client yesterday. I'm like, well, if the loopholes are there and they're legal, why not use them? Right? So
yeah.
yeah. Right, so that's what we're doing, and you shouldn't feel bad about doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the government's not dumb. If they wanted to close up these loopholes, they can
mm-hmm.
certainly make an effort to do so, but they haven't. So
right, they haven't.
While they still exist, let's take advantage of them, because there's not that many loopholes out there, and the government does get their money plenty of times where
mm-hmm.
we do have to pay.
That's right.
But if we can protect some of it, you know, I always say to my clients, you worked hard your whole life.
Yes.
It's a very depressing thought to think that all that time I put in to provide for my family, those mm-hmm. funds or those assets are going to go to a nursing home or to have to reimburse government expenses.
Right.
So
right.
let's take the opportunity. Let's protect some of that. Let's make that hard work worth something there.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Enjoy this nice weather this weekend. Hope to see you at one of our events.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.